You may be seated. I only have a few moments, but I want to offer a word here this morning. We're continuing our series titled The Line Erasing God, and we're dealing this morning with social lines. I was a freshman in college when my next-door roommate, by the first name of Greg, he all of a sudden disappeared. No one knew where he was at, no one knew what was going on with him. And so his roommate, Jack, he came over to me and he says, "Hey, Greg, he's down behind the elementary school sitting on the swings." I said, "Well, what's going on?" And he said, "He's threatening to self-harm." Now, I'm here to tell you that I can't tell you what time of the quarter it was in. I can't tell you if it was midterms or if it was finals, if I had any papers due at the time or any tests the next day. There were about three of us that we began to walk towards the elementary school. It was winter, and all I remember is sitting on that swing for some odd hours talking with this young man by the name of Greg. And I was cold. Years ago, I started a youth group at the last church that I was at, and we sat down and we began to talk about the core values of what we wanted the youth group to be and how we wanted it to be a place of safety, a place where people, kids, could come and they could feel welcome, they could feel encouraged. And little did I know that we would be tested on this, because shortly after we launched the youth group, and we were averaging 20 to 30 on a Wednesday night, and we get a request. A young man started coming, and he had a brother who was 21 years old. Now, the interesting thing about this young man, his brother, was that when he was born, he had a stroke. And so his whole right side was inoperable. His mental capacity was probably on the level of a 12 to 14-year-old, even though he was 21. And he would make strange sounds all the time when he was there. He couldn't read and he couldn't write, and he struggled in all of the social boxes that our world says, these are the acceptable social norms. He couldn't check any of them. But the interesting thing, after about 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 months that went by, not only did the kids at first that they were reluctant to interact with him, but they began to encourage him. And lo and behold, this young man began to answer questions. He began to read. He began to interact at a level that no one ever expected that he could interact at. And it's come to my attention, I probably failed to dismiss Children's Church. It's a bad thing when the clock is your speedometer. When you're fighting the clock, that's not a good thing. The last story that I share with you is by a young man in a youth group. And little did I know what would take place with this young man. But I was serving on a volunteer basis with the youth group, and this young man, his first name is Tom. And he walked in, and the reason that I noticed him was that he had bimini blue hair. Okay, now if you're wondering what color bimini blue hair is, it's sky blue. So when the sky is really blue, go out, look up in the air, and you'll see what color hair he had. But it wasn't just blue, friends. It was spiked out in about 15 to 18 or some odd spikes. So I walk over to him. I said, "Hi, my name's Max." He wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't even speak to me. He just looked down. Week two, I walk over, I said, "Hi, my name's Max." And every time he would walk in, I would notice the hair, right? This went on for about 6 or 8 weeks. And on week eight or nine, I walk in and I'm there. And we had a place for the kids to congregate and to play games and to have fellowship before the youth group started. And I see this one young man walk in and I didn't recognize him. I walk over, I say, "Hi, my name's Max." He's like, I know you, I met you every week for the last month. I'm Tom." Oh. His hair wasn't blue. It wasn't spiked out. Our text this morning is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, the story is this. The account is this. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. He is on his way to lay down his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. And the text tells us this. Now, on his way, on Jesus' way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back giving God the glory and praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were it not all 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." There's a couple things that we can notice out of this text. The first thing is the first phrase. Now, on his way, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was traveling a road, and he was doing what God had commissioned him to do. He was traveling his daily route. He was going to Jerusalem. And so, friends, this was not a special mission for Jesus. This was an everyday occurrence. This was an everyday thing for Jesus. And you and I, we have everyday occurrences. We have everyday situations that on our way to work, on our way to the bank, on our way to the grocery store, on our way to the post office, on our way to the friend's house, that we can apply exactly what Jesus did. But these 19 verses, they ought to be viewed as a whole. And I believe that many of us will read about these 10 lepers and we will get so focused on the one that came back that we will miss the message that Jesus has for us. We need to view this text through the lens of verse 1. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin, there are many temptations," is what Jesus said. "They are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come." The lens of temptation needs to be placed upon these 9 verses, verses 11 through 19. The lens of temptation, and you might say, "But what temptation is there?" I'm here to tell you it's a temptation that Jesus was on a mission from God the Father. He was about to go to Jerusalem to lay down his life. And yet he gets beckoned by lepers. Now let me explain what a leper was in Jesus' day. Lepers in Jesus' day were individuals that were the outcasts of society. Lepers in Jesus' day were put out of the community. And in fact, they had to have a cowbell and they had to ring it. And they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And so as Jesus is going, he undoubtedly heard a bell being rung and a myriad of people, some 10 odd people saying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Those were the lepers, friends. Now, another gospel account, we are told that Jesus actually walked up and touched the leper. In this account, Jesus merely spoke to him, to them, to the 10. You see, we have lepers in our day, in our world. We just don't call them lepers. We have the marginalized, the poor, the outcast, and the weak of society. We have those that can't check the boxes of what it means to be socially acceptable. We have the lepers in our world, whether we like to admit it or not. And so what's the temptation, you might ask? The temptation is this. It's to get so caught up in our daily routine that we miss the lepers in our world. You see, sometimes we get in our own little bubble and we don't even be aware of who that is. We can be in the line at Walmart and we can look and we can see people with piercings and tattoos and all kinds of different things all over the place. Jesus didn't have blinders on. as he went on his way. As you and I go on our way. Because I'm here to tell you, you know what the kingdom of God looks like? It looks like unity. It looks like a God who cares about the poor, the marginalized, the weak, the outcast of society. It looks like a God who yearns to commune with the least of these. And in our social lines, we have things that are socially acceptable in our culture. Now, I am not saying that we just need to throw off all restraint. That is not what I am saying. But what I am saying is this. We have cliches that say you should not judge a book by its cover, and yet we do that very thing. We see somebody with a nose piercing, and that's all that we can see. We see somebody that's covered in tattoos, and that's all we see. We see somebody that's dressed a certain way, and that's all that we see. And friends, that is us in our own little bubble. And that's the temptation that Jesus is talking about here. He says, temptation comes in many forms. But woe to that person through whom that temptation comes. You see, Jesus, he said this. He looked at the lepers and he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want you to imagine this. You see, that young man, Greg was his first name. He was hopeless. He was filled with despair. He had no reason to continue on. That other man, young man Tom, he was looking for attention and acceptance. Philip, in the youth group at the last church that I was at, he needed a community. These lepers needed a community, friends. Can you imagine what it would be like to be filled with hopelessness and despair and have nothing else to lose? And Jesus says, hey, go and show yourself to the priest. And you're looking at it saying, okay, this guy told me to go. I've got nothing else to lose. And as you're going, you look at your arm and all of a sudden, you're healed. You see, the temptation as the church is to just play church, just to do church. The temptation for you and for me, the church in America, is to be oblivious of the hurt and the pain and the despair. You see, when we open our eyes and view these texts through the lens of temptation, what we see is a God who is compassionate and merciful and yearns to reach those that have no hope and those who are filled with despair. Did I change the situation with Tom and Greg and Philip? No. Not at all. I'm not going to tell you that I did. What I hope to think that I did is I gave them hope. I gave them a bit of peace. I showed them the acceptance that God shows you and me. What would it look like if the American church banded together and said, we are going to share the hope that Jesus has given to us with those who are in desperate need of that hope, friends? That's the temptation. Temptation is to just do what we've always done. The temptation is to just be oblivious to those who are marginalized in our world. And that's not of God. So as you go throughout your life, my charge to all of us is to offer that hope to those who are desperately needing it. Because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. To offer that word of encouragement to those who are filled with despair. You see, when that one leper came back, and many of us will look and we'll say, well, what about the nine that just went on? You see, that's the whole imagery. There will be a large portion of people that just will go on, and they will not return to Jesus, but that's not our deal. That's not where we get consumed. Because the interesting thing is that one leper that came back, he came back to give glory to God for what God had done, healing his physical body. And you know what Jesus did? He gave him something far better. He gave him healing in his soul. That's why the church is here, friends. to reach those who are hopeless, to reach those who are filled with despair. You know how I know it? Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what he's called us to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your privilege and the honor and the opportunity to be as you were. Words, people with words filled with hope. To speak into the heart, mind, and soul, and into the life of those who are broken. Jesus, we know that you are about the poor, the marginalized, the weak, and the outcasts of society. That's your heart, O Christ. Father, forgive us when we've put on blinders. We've gotten in our own routine and we've been oblivious to the pain that is around us. Father, may you open our eyes. And may we walk with you in sharing the hope, the anchor for our soul that is in us. And may you be blessed and receive the glory, the honor, and the praise because of it. We thank you, we love you, and we bless you now. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. And all God's people said, amen.